The show you have selected will start directly after the next message.
If you are passionate about food and how it supports well-being and health, learn more. The Institute for Optimum Nutrition has been training nutritional therapists for 35 years on its highly acclaimed and accredited diploma courses. Start your new career in nutritional therapy, one that will make a difference and help others achieve their health goals. Train with the home of nutritional therapy education. Find us online and give us a call or click on the IOM banner on the UK Health Radio homepage.
Hello and welcome to the Yes to Life show, the show that's all about integrative medicine for cancer. I'm Robin Daly, host for the show and founder of the UK charity Yes to Life that helps people with cancer to understand and access their options within integrative medicine. My guest today is someone with a parallel mission to Yes to Life, who has spent many years sharing the information she's gained from a lifetime involving two very serious brushes with cancer. The first time I met Fiona Shakila Burns, she asked if she could give me a hug. A little puzzled, I agreed, subsequently finding out that, after years working on her own to resolve her health problems, Yes to Life was the first organisation to offer her direct support for her own choices of therapy. I'm talking to Fiona over Skype at her home in Bristol. Hi Fiona, so pleased to have you on the show.
Well, it's completely my delight to be here. Thanks, Robin, for having me. How are you?
How am I? I'm actually really well after my big week off first, and feeling very energetic and light after it.
Fantastic. I was following you and very much enjoyed the whole thing, and what a great result. You overshot your expected
amount. That's right, 8,250 basically. So yeah, really good result.
Congratulations.
Great result all round.
So brilliant. Love it.
You're an extraordinary survivor by any standards, or should I say thriver, I think that's the way you prefer to call yourself. You're an expert practitioner, and you're also a key patient activist in the UK.
Thank you very much.
I want to talk about all of those facets and qualities that make up who Fiona Shakila Burns is, but can we start off with the big stuff? I wonder if you're able to sum up what it is that you're trying to achieve through all the work you do to help others in so many different ways. What is it that you want to share with others from your experience?
Well, that's a really good question. I think the main thing is I want to let people know that it is possible to take full control of one's health and to create health. Even if you've been told that you've got cancer or that there's no hope for you, that there is always hope. So I think that is my main message. And we've always got things that we can improve no matter what in our health.
Right. Excellent. Okay, that's really good. So we're going to hear a bit more of the detail of that as we go on. So as I said, you've got one extraordinary story to tell of your own journey, quite enough, in fact, for an entire show by itself. But possibly the most unusual aspect of it, and the one that I imagine could probably have set you in the direction you've been in for the rest of your travels so far, was the story of your first diagnosis and treatment for cancer. Do you want to just tell us about that?
Sure. So I was diagnosed with sarcoma and plasma cell leukemia when I was 11 years old, and I was basically given the death sentence at that point, although nobody said the word cancer to me and nobody led me to believe that I wouldn't get better because my parents sort of took control of the situation.
Right.
And I was given oral chemotherapy, and basically my parents were told this won't cure her, it will prolong her life.
Right.
And I took it for a week before my parents decided, actually, we don't want to just give up on our little girl and just take the doctor's word for it. So we're going to find an answer. We're going to find the solution and we're going to get her well. So they took me to a naturopath called Mr. Eddie in Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
And he put me on the GERS therapy, which is essentially a detoxification therapy using juicing, coffee enemas and supplements and herbs. And the whole point of it is to reset your immune system and to open up all the channels of elimination so that your body can get on and do its job of healing.
Right.
And so that's what I did. And Mr. Eddie was very kind of clear. He basically presented it to my parents that I won't treat her unless she's only doing my therapy. So I'm not really interested if she's going to continue on the oral chemotherapy. So you have to make your mind up. It's either that or you do it my way.
Right.
So
okay.
Very, very unusual.
Yes, very unusual. But also,
we're talking 70s. It was 1976, I think.
Right, yes.
So very unusual to be, you know, to have that, be given that choice. But my parents decided they had faith. You know, they read about the Gerson therapy, they read that book, the 50
patient cases, is it?
Cases. And they were convinced and they decided that that was the right way to go. So I was taken off the oral chemotherapy and put on the Gerson therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a very unusual situation, especially for a child, really. I mean, you know, the occasional adult will go off and do the Gerson therapy. Back then, you know, a few wild characters would go off and do the Gerson therapy, and there's some great stories of people who succeeded. Very unusual for a child to be given that kind of treatment.
I didn't really, you can imagine as a child, I didn't really have so much of a choice because my parents made the decision.
Yeah.
And they paid me. They paid me to do it.
Yes, so, I remember you telling me that. Absolute genius on their part. Absolute genius. How do you get a child to comply with one of the strictest regimes on the planet? You pay them, of course.
Exactly. You pay them, exactly. Yes, so I was sitting there adding up all that I was earning and for every coffee enema, I made some like 50p and every supplement little package I made, I don't know, maybe 20p or something like that. So all added up.
Genius. Yeah. Well, the clever parents. Can I just one question about what you said at the beginning? You said your initial diagnosis was sarcoma and leukemia. So is this like you had two separate cancers at the same time? Because a sarcoma is a solid cancer, but leukemia is a blood cancer. So both together.
Same time, I did.
Mm.
So I had a lump on my thigh that was taken out and biopsied, and that was the sarcoma. Mm-hmm. And they did a bone marrow and discovered I had plasma cell leukemia as well. So I had two cancers.
Wow, quite a situation to deal with health wise. So, right, so brilliant. And the reason that they got away with such a freedom, if you like, to treat you in this way, is because as far as the oncologists were concerned, you were terminal.
Well, to be quite honest with you, the oncologist did not know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as he was concerned, I was taking the oral chemotherapy.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, because my parents didn't want to disconnect from the hospital. They were worried about upsetting the oncologist, which I think is quite a common scenario. And they wanted me to be monitored. So they took me back to the hospital. I think once a fortnight I would go to the hospital and have my ESR measured.
Right.
And have, just be examined. And at the same time, so every other week I went to see the naturopath. On the other week, I went to see the hospital. So the good news was that the hospital were monitoring my ESR, which is a measure. They don't do it so much these days, but it's a measure of disease, and it's a measure specifically of stickiness, how the red blood cells are clumping together. and it gives you an idea of inflammation. So they were watching that steadily come down.
Right.
And after 6 months or so, it's completely normal. And that's when also my white blood cells were all measuring normal and everything was showing normal.
Mm. And so meanwhile, they were thinking, great stuff, this chemo.
Yes, they thought, well, it seems to be working. And at the end of it all, when I was better, and it was really clear that I was better, and Mr. Eddy had also confirmed, he was doing tests as well. He was the naturopath, and he was testing me using radionics and some other methods. We weren't really sure how he was testing me, to be honest, but he was giving a number, and we think it was to do with dowsing. But we don't know. It was always a bit of a mystery. But he told me, you know, I was the count. My count was improving, and I was certainly feeling better. And it was clear that I was getting better. Yeah. You know, I was feeling better. I was looking better. I was gaining weight. I had energy. My hair was shiny. I was just generally, obviously, much improved. And hospital results were reflecting that.
Right, and they didn't suspect a thing down at the hospital then.
They didn't suspect a thing, but eventually my parents wanted to come clean. They didn't want to be misleading the hospital.
No.
And they thought it would be very enlightening for them to let them know what had actually been happening.
Yeah.
My dad took all of the oral chemotherapy tablets that my mum and dad had kept them all. And also I was meant to be taking steroids as well. So they collected all of them.
Yeah.
There was a big plastic bag full of them. And when it was really clear that I was better, my dad, I remember it really clearly. My dad just emptied out this bag on the oncologist's desk and said, actually, you know, I have to let you know that she didn't take any of these.
Right.
And then they didn't do it in a nasty way, but they just wanted to say, look, make the point, you know, and also my mum and dad handed this doctor, who was called Dr. Martin, the Gerson therapy book.
Right.
And said, this is how she did it, and this copy's for you. And he said, oh, well, actually, I just won't have time to read that.
Surprise.
Hang on to that. You hang on to that. I'll keep using my chemo drugs, and I won't waste your time by taking your book, which I won't read. And that was it. And my parents were really shocked.
Yeah, well, of course they would be.
How uninterested he was.
Yeah, well, on the face of it, it's, of course, 100% uncaring, and we don't mind if children die by giving them drugs that don't work, and we're not interested in saving their lives, but... Of course, if you don't have the whole picture about the system under which the guy's operating, then you wouldn't begin to understand that kind of response other than thinking he must be a psychopath. So,
I think that probably was the conclusion my parents drew.
You're probably right. Well, I don't blame them. But anyway, it's something I'm writing about at the moment, this whole system that creates this scenario. But fascinating.
I also agree with you. I know that they don't have... They're not free. They're not free to be in the system as with all their intelligence and their
humanity,
inquiring minds.
Without that, they're not free to be human. That's the really bad bit. Yeah. Anyway, well, look, a great story and, really interesting.
Because of my experience, I then studied, first of all, I studied nursing and then I went into natural medicine. So I became a herbalist. I did a 4-year degree in herbal medicine and worked as a herbalist and then did craniosacral therapy and I was fine and I was healthy. And then 31 years later, I got metastasized cervix cancer,
yes,
which had gone to the ovaries and the brain. And I then had to treat it again and I did it naturally. And this time, as well as Gerson, I also used mind. I had to really get to the root of what was going on in my unconscious mind. Right. And I used EFT and Psych K, as well as going to Germany. And I had some targeted chemo as well. So again, I had no NHS treatment, but I just did everything I could that I believed in.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 months later, I went from having a partially collapsed lung, brain hemorrhage, brain tumours, cervix tumour, and an ovary tumour, which was 9 by 6 centimetres, which is the size of a small grapefruit.
Yeah, big.
And I was better. So I was diagnosed in August 2007, and by June 2008, I'd come through all of that. Oh, and a deep vein thrombosis as well. So it was it was very dramatic and, you know, amazing.
Yes.
And I'd say, you know, in answer to your question earlier about why I'm doing my work, it was such a dramatic experience that it's just switched something on in me, which has made me very passionate about healing.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, quite understandable.
Tension for our bodies to heal, which is beyond our understanding, is beyond anything. But it can be connected with the healing power of the body is just limitless.
It's astonishing. I agree with you. Fantastic, thanks for that. I wanted to get the short story just to bring us up to date as well, so that's brilliant. What you did there was actually an early example of genuinely integrative treatment, though, because you actually did stuff from both sides in the kind of long-running war between Orthodox medicine and everything else. You actually use both together in a way which is being encouraged more and more now and is showing that it works very well as well.
Mm. I had two sessions in Germany of the targeted chemotherapy.
Yes.
And they expected me to need a lot more than that. But that was all I had. In fact, they said to me, we can't do any more because now you've been diagnosed with brain tumours. We can't actually keep doing this treatment. You're going to have to go home, sort out the brain tumours, and then come back. So that was the point I was discharged from Germany.
Yes.
So I had a kind of homeopathic size dose of kind of conventional medicine, even by German standards. But I felt it was important to move my position from absolutely no conventional to let's see what conventional can offer me here. Mm. And just be open to everything. Open your mind to absolutely everything, even chemotherapy. Mm. So that was kind of what allowed me to go and do that. Well, in Germany,
Well, thank you for that, because I think it's very important. I think, you know, being too firmly in one camp or the other is to cut down your options in a ridiculous manner. And things like chemotherapy definitely have their place. Sometimes you simply need to cut down the amount of cancerous activity, and you can't beat Orthodox medicine for doing that. So I definitely feel it's got a place.
As long as you take care of the body,
exactly.
You have to really... you know, and kind of use it in my experience. It's like it's a last resort thing. It's not like the first thing you do. It's what you do when you feel like, okay, now it's time to reach for the heavy things. That's my experience.
All right. So now on to Back to Health. So this is the banner under which you put on many ambitious events, generally around Bristol where you live, and generally with a focus on integrative medicine and cancer. So you've got your very own distinctive, broad, eclectic and fun-loving style, which takes in everything from, you know, your events you've had, like advanced ablative techniques in Germany, to the power of the mind to heal, so, and everything in between. So you've got an event coming up very soon that centres around three very specific topics, and I'd like to explore all of them. So this is ozone, hydrogen and CBD. So question number one, what made you choose these three topics in particular?
Well, it was quite organic, really. It started off with a passion to share ozone.
Right.
So I've experienced a lot of transformation in my own health because of ozone. And more recently, I've been learning more about it. And I can just see it's such a useful, helpful thing for our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
I used it, first of all, my first experience of ozone was actually in Germany,
right,
when I was at that clinic, St. Okay. George's Clinic.
Yeah.
And I went and had some ozonated blood. So they take the blood, they ozonate the blood, and then they put it back in your body.
Yes.
And each time I had it, I felt energized by it. It was really clear. It's like, oh, this is really, really good. This is giving my body oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that was my first experience of ozone. And then last year, it's always been with me, you know, like I want to explore ozone more. And then I decided to buy myself an ozone machine, which is which delivers ozone in so rectally, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's rectal ozone, but you can also make ozone water, and you can use it vaginally, and you can even put it through the ears to get to the brain. So
mm-hmm.
I bought this machine, and I started using it, and I noticed an increase in my energy levels more or less straight away. And then my thyroid, I've had a low thyroid since 2011, started really dramatically improving to the point where I'm almost off the natural. I was taking natural desiccated thyroid,
mm-hmm.
And I'm almost off it. I still need a little bit, but my need was getting more, you know, I was having to take more.
Right.
And now I'm actually coming off it. It's like I'm almost off it now. So
brilliant.
That showed me that my thyroid was benefiting a lot from it. And I've experienced just general sort of improvement in energy levels, which, you know, counts for an awful lot.
Okay.
So that's what I thought, okay, I need to be sharing this with people. So I decided to set up an ozone day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I talked to Dr. Yan about it. Dr. Yan is a doctor who I've been working with. He works from my house on a fortnightly basis.
Yes.
Doing really brilliant treatments, which he's got an absolute passion for sharing and helping people with integrative treatments at a very, very low cost. So he's incredibly altruistic and a very kind-hearted and intelligent man who was an A&E doctor for 23 years. So I asked him if he wanted to do the day with me, because he also uses ozone. So he does ozonated intravenous infusions.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided we would do the day together. And it basically evolved, because then he's got a massive passion for hydrogen.
Okay.
Hydrogen has huge ability to impact the body by repairing the mitochondria. And it's anti-inflammatory. It mops up free radicals in the most efficient way you can imagine.
Okay.
And it also gives you energy because of the mitochondrial effects. But it's used in China. It's a kind of very obvious way to help the body. And so he's been working with hydrogen. And so we decided, okay, we'd also do hydrogens. And then that we kind of tagged on the CBD, because I've also, I've had a lot up with CBD. So that kind of came in just because I really love CBD. So I thought I'm just going to stick that in as well. I want people to know about CBD as well.
Well, given the amount of interest in CBD, that makes a lot of sense, really. I mean, it could be a big draw for people to come and hear some more about it. Okay, so look.
Yes. Can I just say at this stage, just if people wanted to search for the event, it's on Eventbrite, and they just put my name in. If they put in Fiona Shaquila Burns, they'll find the event, and it's actually on the 20th of July. In Bristol. We're keeping the cost right down. So if you want to do the whole day, I think it's £35 for the whole day, which is
cheap.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
And also we've also accessed, so Dr. Yan's been making hydrogen machines, and he's just like an amazing kind of inventor, very intelligent, kind of mad professor in the nicest way. And he's made these hydrogen machines, which normally cost in the region of £1,500 to £1,900. Okay. He's making them. So we're making them available for people with cancer at really low cost. So £350 is like I think there'll be more for people that don't have cancer, but you know, it's like making them really cheap. And we've also managed to source really good quality ozone machines, which again, just to help people get going on it, because I paid £1,300 to mine, right. And you know, and you don't need to spend that amount of money to get a good one. So it's a bit of a rip off, but you're led to believe that you need to spend huge amounts of money to get a good ozone machine.
Yeah,
but you don't.
Okay, well, very, very useful to have that information. So look, I'd like to go over all these three things in a little bit more detail. So first of all, I mean, ozone isn't oxygen. So what? Tell people what ozone is and why it's used.
Okay, so ozone is O3, so oxygen is O2, and ozone is O3, and it's actually a molecule consisting of three negatively charged oxygen atoms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a normal constituent of the Earth's atmosphere. You know, we hear about the ozone layer.
Yes.
And it's a normal and healthy part of the Earth that we want to maintain. It's the lack of ozone. It's the break in the ozone layer, which is the problem. So ozone is essentially supporting the Earth and all life's processes.
Yes.
And it's produced naturally from oxygen. Whenever ultraviolet radiation or electrical discharges occur, so for instance, high altitudes or by the action of lightning.
Right.
So it's a blue coloured gas, but it doesn't, you know, when you're making it, it doesn't look blue. That's just incidental. The actions it has are it's bactericidal, so it kills bacteria. It's actually antifungal, so it kills funguses,
mm-hmm.
and it also kills, it's generally antimicrobial and virostatic, which means it stops viruses as well. So widely it's used for disinfecting, and in fact you can use it instead of chlorine in a swimming pool.
Really?
Why they don't, I do not know, because it's completely different from chlorine in that it actually is good for the body instead of bad for the body.
Mm.
And if you take, when you use it, so when you take it rectally, it has the effect, so it's very quick to deliver, it's usually best to do it following an enema, especially, you know, if you're doing coffee enemas, it's so easy to just do it after that, because you want a clean colon. So if you're not doing coffee enemas, it's a good idea to do a quick water enema, and just to clear the colon, because then when you put the gas into the colon, and you can do that either through a bag or you can do it directly from the machine using a catheter, and it takes 8 minutes to deliver, or if you do it in a bag, it's actually quicker to put it in, but I tend to do it straight from the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you do that, you can do it, if someone's got cancer, you'd be doing it once a day.
Okay.
If you are doing it for general health reasons, you might do it like two or three times a week. And over a period of 3 months, it upgrades the whole of the red blood cells. So it improves your ability to hold oxygen. And it's oxygenating the body.
Well, just to put it in context, so now we look at it from the point of view of someone with cancer, simply to oxygenate the body is a good aim to have.
Yeah, that, and it's just, if it was only that, it would be a good aim to have. But it also has the effect of killing all of the, you know, these pathogens which are associated with disease as well. So, right.
But that, not including your healthy gut bacteria, for example, and that kind of thing.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't affect those negatively.
Right. Right.
No, which is good.
So a very positive thing to do, which is likely to improve the action of any treatment you happen to be having.
Yes. And you can also, you can make the water and drink it. You can do that on a daily basis.
Hmm. So this is water with extra oxygen.
To take it vaginally.
Yeah, this is water with extra oxygen in it somehow.
So it smells, it's got a smell to it. So you're putting the ozone through the water,
mm-hmm.
and it takes, they've discovered it takes 20 minutes minimum to really saturate it properly with oxygen,
mm-hmm.
With the ozone. There are these machines that you can buy on Amazon, which are really cheap, which say they oxygenate water. And I did have one, but actually what they're doing is oxygenating, they're putting ozone into the atmosphere. It's not contained. The water doesn't contain it. So it's really a different thing. You're not getting the effect of it if you're doing it
right.
with one of those machines. So they're very misleading, those ozone machines you can get on Amazon.
Okay.
Which cost 30 quid or something, you know.
Okay, so you're going to have to pay more than that. That's the story.
Yeah, you are going to have to pay more than that. I mean, the ones we're going to be selling, we're hoping to be able to do it actually for £400 with everything included, which is including the oxygen and the regulator for the oxygen. So that is actually, you know, you won't find that anywhere in the world cheaper than that. It's just like, we're really doing people a favour here. It's going to be very, very cheap. Because normally you can pay like £150 to £250 for the oxygen alone.
Mm-hmm.
So, we are getting it at knock-off prices, but pure. Obviously, it's all pure and safe.
Right. No, that I can confirm that's very cheap. Okay, on to hydrogen. Now, this is not a subject that's spoken or known about as much as oxygen-based therapies, which are quite commonly spoken about in integrative medicine circles. I have actually dedicated one show to it before, which was interesting. People might want to look it up past Yesterlife show. But, so hydrogen is getting used to power buses around London with zero pollution. How does it help to power human beings?
Okay, so hydrogen is actually 62% of the molecules in your body are hydrogen.
Hmm.
So it's a really important part of your body and your life processes. And hydrogen is the smallest known molecule. And if you look at the periodic table, it's the top left.
Okay.
It's the top left of that periodic table because it's tiny. And it has the ability to squeeze through. So you can't contain it. It goes through metal. It goes, you know, it just basically escapes from everywhere, which is why you have to generate it. And it can even get through. So it's very, very good for strokes. So if somebody's had a stroke and they need, they're really trying to get the movement back and the penetration of nutrients through the body again because the blood supply is blocked off and you've got these ischemic areas. It basically opens up these ischemic areas because it can get through to every single part of the body. So when you breathe it, you're basically giving your body this life, this is a very important gas that's necessary for life, and it repairs the mitochondria. So the mitochondria are the powerhouses within each cell, which you're needing for energy. And it's really supporting the production of ATP, which is your energy.
Right.
And anti-inflammatory mops up 90% of free radicals in the body, and is more effective in that way than any other antioxidants. So, you know, you could be taking lots of green tea and curcumin and vitamin C and all the antioxidants, but with this, you're just doing so much in very efficiently,
right.
And easily by breathing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also Dr. Yan has also developed a way to make hydrogen water using a Coke bottle and a test tube and some magnesium and citric acid. So you get this, you put it together, it's a bit like some crazy experiment.
Right.
You put the powder in the test tube in the water, the Coke bottle's got the water in. The reason we use Coke bottles is because they're really strong and they're they're the least kind of leachy plastic because they have to be so strong to contain coke, you know, which is pretty toxic stuff. And they're very hard. So the bottles are thick plastic and durable. So then you put the powder inside the water in the coke bottle, and then you get a chemical reaction as you get the water in the test tube, and the gas gets produced, and then you then shake it, and the that gas all goes into the water, and then you drink it really quickly. So that's the way to get hydrogen water, very, very potent hydrogen water into the body. Mm. And we've got quite a lot of people doing it. So I organised a hydrogen water seminar taught by Dr. Yan last year, and it was well attended, and quite a lot of people started doing it at that point. My best friend came along, and she loved it. She's not really into healthy things that much, but she took this on and started doing it, and she lost 3 stone.
That's a lot.
Because of that, she got all this energy, and she just lost all this weight. And now she looks absolutely amazing. So she's a massive advocate for hydrogen water.
I can imagine.
She's coming along again to this seminar, you know. She's loving it. She loves Dr. Yan.
Right. So it's interesting, yeah. These two constituents of water, the hydrogen and the oxygen, we all know how crucial water is to the human body, of course. We only need to stop drinking for a day to find that out. It shows just how these elements are so deeply associated with our most fundamental processes of generating our energy, both of them.
Exactly. It just makes sense. You know, you're giving the body at a very fundamental level what it needs.
Mm.
There's nothing fancy about it. It's just sort of straightforward common sense.
Mm. Mm.
Presenting it to the body in the way the body just goes, oh, thank you very much, you know, I know what to do with that, and it just gets on with it.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, well, look, because of time, we better move on to the important one of CBD, which, of course, a load of people are interested in. It's one of the hottest topics in healthcare around cancer, and the science so far shows that it's notably helpful with pain and symptoms. But anecdotally, of course, there's much, much more. So what are the aspects that you want to explore and share in your event?
Okay, well, I mean, I really love CBD, and it's something I use myself on a regular basis. I use it for sleep, so I find it really, really helpful to give me a deep sleep. It's very good for anxiety. It's neuroprotective. It's good for pain relief. It's anti-inflammatory, and it's anti-seizure as well.
Mm.
So they've done quite a lot of experiments on CBD. So CBD is one of the cannabinoids that comes from cannabis, and there's up to 100 different cannabinoids in cannabis. So CBD is just one of these. They're making an oil which is made out of industrial hemp, organic, and in order for it to be legal, it has to have less than 0.2% of THC. So
THC being?
So THC is the one that makes you, it's psychoactive, it's the one that makes you high.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one that most people, you know, people that smoke dope, people that are using dope for recreational reasons, mainly it's for the THC. And then you get these strains of cannabis like Skunk, which are bred specifically for that THC. And you get very little CBD in the sort of cannabis that you get on the street.
Right.
And that's why you get this, you know, that's why people can literally go crazy because of cannabis, because it's so imbalanced. The CBD is what kind of keeps it's neuroprotective. It supports the neurons, it supports your brain to be more efficient. Whereas if you start breeding plants that don't have CBD in it, you get a lot of imbalance.
Right.
And then, you know, and I mean, I used to be a nurse. I saw, a fair amount of people being admitted because they'd got because they've just done too much cannabis. So that's the THC that can make you crazy.
Right.
But it's balanced. So medicinal cannabis has actually got a good balance of THC and CBD. So it's not that THC is innately bad in any way. It's just the lack of balance which makes it unhealthy.
I understand. But nonetheless, of course, the THC part, you can't buy it here. Because it's an illegal drug, and so the stuff you buy has got a very, very small quantity, if any, in it, and it's all CBD.
Yes, I mean, you can buy it here, obviously, but
well,
it's not
yes.
It's not legal to sell it, yeah.
Yeah, not officially. Yeah, okay, well, it certainly seems to be, the whole plant is the most amazing plant for producing stuff, anything from concrete to medicines.
Oh, yeah.
And extraordinary plant.
Isn't it?
We really do seem to have an incredible synergy with it, and there seem to be so many conditions that it helps with that the law around it is completely maddening in terms of preventing people from getting access to something which is so helpful and so harmless.
Exactly. Well, they've discovered in quite recent years that the human body has got a whole system in it called the endocannabinoid system, because
yes.
your body has the ability to produce its own cannabinoids, and a healthy body will be producing cannabinoids.
Yeah.
So when you get out of balance and you're not healthy, your body stops producing these endocannabinoids, which is why when you take them from an external source, it can really help to bring the balance back, and it can actually help your body to start producing the endocannabinoids again.
And I think I've also heard that in terms of an escape from the hell that lots of people have been led into with opiate-based drugs, cannabis can be the way out.
Absolutely. They call it a gateway, but I think it could be a gateway back to sanity rather than a gateway into the bad drugs.
The other way. When I'm talking about the people led into that hell, I'm not talking about regular drug use. I'm talking about people who've been prescribed these things and have ended up addicted. You know, it's a nightmare, and there's huge numbers of people, both here and in the States particularly, who are in this situation of being drug addicts now, thanks to their doctors.
Right. Mm. Gosh. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling good on it at all. Yeah, feeling horrible.
Oh, yeah. Mm. It's a real nightmare. Okay, good. So lots of stuff there for people to come along for, lots of good reasons to go to your event. So just to go over it again, it's on the 20th of July in Bristol. And they want to go to Eventbrite and search for Fiona Shaquila Burns if they want to book.
Yes, and it's the Health Upgrade Seminar.
Right.
And it's in Bristol.
Lovely.
Yeah. Can I just tell you something else, Robin?
Yes.
I need to tell you something else. So I want to tell you, I'm getting this Hockert sauna. So it's an ozone sauna.
Oh, right.
I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's...
No.
My friend Tony has got one in Torquay. I went down and I could not believe it. It basically pumps out ozone. So it makes your body, it allows your body to absorb the ozone through the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as that, it's also got Rife frequencies in this machine. So it's like a state-of-the-art machine that they're all using in, apparently they've got them in Hollywood for anti-aging.
Yeah.
And it's got photon light therapy in it and carbonic acid therapy. And it comes as well with the PMF. I don't know if you know PMF, pulse electromagnetic frequency. It's the thing that Noel Edmonds cured his prostate cancer with.
Yes.
So it's if you go into it, it actually oxygenates your body more effectively than a hyperbaric oxygen chamber.
That's interesting.
It's totally.
Yeah.
So I'm getting one. Just want to let you know
I'm getting one.
So
that means they're not so expensive that the man or the woman in the street couldn't afford one of their own then.
Well, they are. They're bloody expensive. But I'm getting one for my clinic.
Oh, I see.
It's my inheritance, basically. It's £26,000.
All right. Well,
so,
okay, that's not everybody's
really
price.
I want people to come and use it because it's amazing.
Yes.
And it really makes you feel amazing.
Yeah.
And B, it'd be really nice if people come and use it because it's a massive investment as well. So I'd love to let people know about it.
Good plug there.
Very
good.
It's the only one for Bristol.
Okay, well done. Sounds a great resource. 26,000, it's only the price of a car. So, you know, by some machine standards, that's quite cheap, of course.
You buy a car for that.
Yeah. All right, very good. So, look, I have to round off. Just to finish, I'd like to bring you back to your own story and what you've learned. At this point, you are actually an inspiration to thousands of people looking for hope and direction in hard times. And I think you and I would agree that behind all the science and the knowledge, the techniques, all the trappings of ways of making yourself healthier, right at the very heart of the matter of getting and staying well is the state of your mind and your spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
You've got to really want to live.
Yes. So this is more intangible. It's a trickier thing to pass on than the latest science or the latest technique. But I'd say you've been working hard to pass this on by speaking about it directly, through the way that you work with people, through the way you actually live. So some of our listeners will be unfortunate enough to have recently received a diagnosis and maybe just opening the door a tiny chink into the world of integrative medicine. What would you want to say to them?
I would say to them, it's time to absolutely start living your best life. So whatever you're putting off, whatever you're not allowing yourself, it's time to say yes to yourself on every level. And it's time to decide, even if you're not in a position to start doing all of the things you want to do. In that moment, you know, maybe there's quite a lot of work to get your health back, but you need to focus on what you're getting your health back for. You know, why do you want to be on the planet?
Right.
What are you going to do with this health when you get it back? So it's about direction, it's about sense of direction, and then commitment to do absolutely whatever it takes. And that might even involve doing a fundraiser for yourself. You know, it could be something really out of your comfort zone, like asking people for help. A lot of people have struggle with that. So whatever you find the most challenging, it's like that's what life is calling from you and asking you to do. And you know what you've got to lose. You've got nothing to lose. You just and everything to gain. So don't take anyone else's word for it that you can't get better. That it does really annoy me when you're just categorically told there's nothing we can do. Well, it's true, there's nothing they can do. But there's nothing within the remit of conventional medicine available because they don't use anything other than surgery, chemo, and, you know, maybe some immunotherapy, and you know, radiotherapy and that sort of thing. But generally speaking, just because somebody says to you there's nothing we can do doesn't mean that there's nothing that can be done. There's always something that can be done. Mm. And do it. You just have to absolutely do it and keep your sight set on health and joy and living your life and don't give up.
Well, look, Fiona, you're a living example of all that you've just spoken about, right from the day when your parents had you on a therapy they didn't offer down at the hospital to today.
Thank you, Robert.
We haven't even touched on the fact that you head up a huge and thriving forum on Facebook. Do you want to quickly give listeners the details?
Yeah. So I started a group called Cancer You Can, which is cancer letter U, can. And it's basically for people who are healing from cancer. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. It's just for people who are wanting to heal. So people who've got cancer and they want to get well. So that, and it's a very non-judgmental, very all-inclusive community of people who go out of their way to help each other, actually. And you realise, once you join that group, you realise you're not alone. And there's lots of people in the same boat, and lots of inspiration and people sharing resources and ideas and recipes and, you know, practitioner, you know, all sorts of stuff. It's just really juicy, and it's a fun community as well. And we're having a retreat as well in October, Camps You Can retreat, which I hope you'll come along to, Robin, as well.
I hope I will too.
I'm hoping Yes to Life gets supporters like you did last year.
Great.
Which was great. So that's happening in October as well. The details aren't on the website yet, but we'll be soon. So that's also going to be great. We've got some really good speakers like Jen Ayres is coming, and Sophie Savage, and we're having Wim Hof, and Jan's going to come along, Dr. Jan. And I'm going to teach about EFT, actually, which is a great thing to learn about. Mm. And all sorts of interesting things. And we're going to have fun, and we're going to dance, and we're going to sing, and we're going to have a fire ceremony. And the last one we had in April was great. It was, and it's really lovely for an online community to, you know, the Camps You Can community to actually come together and all meet each other and meet in the flesh. Yeah, it's lovely to meet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can confirm that Camps You Can is as welcoming a group of 3,500 people as you can find anywhere. So, thanks so much for coming on today, Fiona. I've really enjoyed it. And as always, I really admire everything that you continue to do to share the good news of your own discoveries. You're a bit of a national treasure.
Oh, thanks, Robin. That's really lovely. Well, I want to say thank you so much for all the work you do as well. You know, you're so dedicated to Yes to Life and, you know, to supporting people with cancer. And, I totally admire everything that you're doing as well and support it completely in every way. So feels like I feel very aligned to Yes to Life.
Great. Lovely. Thank you. Thank you, Fiona.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, sounds like a very informative and inexpensive event that Fiona's putting on. So get yourself signed up if you can make it. I want to take this opportunity to let the many of you who were aware of my fundraising fast, the big week off last week, know that due to some amazingly generous support, I smashed my target, raising over £8,250 and losing 13.5 of my pounds doing it. A brilliant result all round. There are plans afoot for a version of the Big Week Off that anyone can join in January next year, so watch this space. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next week with another interesting guest from the world of integrative medicine. Goodbye.